I want you to turn to the book of Job. The book of Job. The book of Job, if you turn there tonight. I'll just give you just a brief summary of what's happening that you know well from this book. In chapter 1, when God allows Job to come against him and to try him, we know that the first thing that he attacked was what Job loved, the things that Job loved. First, his family. He had a love for his family. He attacked his family. He attacked his faith. See, the first thing that he destroyed in Job 1 was the animals that Job had to sacrifice to God. So he wanted to leave Job without a sacrifice. And then when he could no longer get to Job through his family and through his faith, he took his finances. God had prospered Job. And one by one, he continues to attack Job. In chapter 1, it's the things that Job loved. In chapter 2, he goes back to the Lord and he attacks Job himself. He attacks him with physical ailments, and we know with the pain and suffering that he had. But still, in all this, Job sinned not, neither did he charge God foolishly through all things. But he praised God and trusted God through it all. Now, when I was reading this the other day, something caught my attention a few days ago, really, caught my attention that I don't know why, but it had just never really gripped my mind the way that it did. I'm not going to break each one of these down. I'm going to look at one area tonight, and I don't plan to keep you long. I didn't plan to keep you long Sunday morning, but God gave me extra anointing. But y'all ain't going to pray for that no more, are you? But in chapter 1 of Job and verse 18, "And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." There were three phrases that caught my attention in this, and I'm only going to preach on one of them. The first thing was the young men. The attack came on the youth. Maybe I better repeat that. The attack came on the youth. See, the devil, if he can't get you, he wants your children. And if he can't get a church, he wants the young people of a church. Because the future always lies in our youth. So he comes especially hard against young people. I realize that a lot of the young people may feel like, well, Pastor, you're older and you don't understand. But it's been the same for the ages of time. He has new ways of attacking, but he's always out to get the youth any way that he can. Because he doesn't want a church or a family to bring on a second generation. He wants to try to stop everything while you're young. Because he knows that if he can stop you while you're young, then it will hinder the work of God to future generations. That's why it's so important that we that are older remain faithful. I think so many times about the prodigal son. He went into the far country. But I don't know why this isn't preached much. It ought to be preached a lot. He went into the far country. But the father stayed where he was. I think that's important. Because if the father hadn't stayed where he was at, when the prodigal came to himself, he wouldn't know where to go back to. And what's happening now, we have the older generation that won't stay put. So the younger generation doesn't know where to return to. They come back to the church that had preached and taught them, but suddenly everything that they were taught is no longer there. That's why we need to stay put. Stay with what God has given us. And not waver and not change. But stay true to what God has placed us in. Then also I noticed that it smote the four corners. That's a picture of more than just the house being squared. The corners in the Bible is always a picture of foundational things. Buildings were built on the cornerstone. So the attack is an attack against the foundational aspects. So we know here comes this attack against the young people, and the attack was to destroy the very foundations that they've been built upon. That's why there's such an attack in this country, to destroy the foundational things of this country. Because once the foundation is gone, there's nothing left to build on. Any house is only as strong as the foundation that it's placed on. The reason the four corners are so important is because it doesn't matter what side the attack comes from. If it's built on something solid, it will stand. But now here's the message. I'm not looking at just the young men, and I'm not looking at the four corners. I want to look at one phrase. A wind from the wilderness. A wind from the wilderness. See, what destroyed the young men was a wind from the wilderness. What destroyed something that was foundational was a wind from the wilderness. Now, when you first read that, you don't think much about it until you start thinking about why he stressed so much about this wind. There's only two winds that blow on us. One is the breeze from heaven, the wind of the Holy Ghost. And the other is the wind from the wilderness. The wind from the wilderness, it comes from a different place. See, this had to be unusual because he stated where it came from. It came from the wilderness. Normally the winds didn't blow in from the wilderness. But when the wind came from the wilderness, then suddenly the house couldn't stand. That just means that it was unusual. Do you know there's storms that hit our area? Most storms come from a normal storm pattern. But every now and then you'll have an unusual wind that'll bring a storm from an unusual direction. And when the unusual wind and storm comes, that's when the most damage is done. So what he's talking about is that it comes from a strange place, an unusual. Can I say this? There's a lot of strange winds blowing today. I mean, really different. I can't believe the things, the different things that our youth have to come against today. It's so different. But what does he mean by it? It's always been that way. But it's confirmed in Scripture. You'll read in Psalm 144 in verse 7 and again in verse 11. The psalmist cries out to be delivered from the hand of strange children. Then by the time you get to Proverbs 2:16 says, to deliver it from strange women, even from the stranger which flattereth with her lips. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. In verse 20 it says, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? In Proverbs 6:24, to keep me from an evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So the psalmist talked about strange children. In Proverbs 8 times, he warns about strange women. He's talking about children and women that are strange, not because they're odd in their appearance, not because they're from a different side of town, or strangers from a different place. When the Bible uses that word strange, it's talking in reference to doctrine, to gods, to morals, to philosophies, to ideas. Man, there's a lot of strange ideas out there today. There's a lot of strange gods out there today. There's a lot of strange philosophies out there today. And young people, you hear me. There's winds that are blowing from the wilderness. That's strange winds that's coming against you. So it comes from a different place. I never seen a time when immorality would be praised and morality would be condemned. But we're in that time. I never seen a time where the Bible would be questioned so much. Think about this. You hold in your hand the Word of God. It stood true through the ages of time. It helped build this country. But now it's questioned. And the very basis of it, we're hearing, you can no longer depend on it. But let me tell you, that's a strange idea. This thing has been good enough to preserve the patriarchs of old. And it's been good enough to stand on through the ages of time. Heaven and earth will pass away. But His Word will stand forever. Don't let anybody tell you the Bible's not true. And the Bible's not accurate. You can count on the Word of God. That wind comes from a different place. That wind comes from a dry place. The wilderness is dry. Can I stress to you, when you give in to the wind from the wilderness, it'll leave you dry in life. I've watched the wind from the wilderness blow into churches and them dry up. I've watched the wind from a wilderness blow into a family and them dry up. I've watched the wind from the wilderness blow into communities and them dry up. It's a dry place. I don't know about you, but I thank God we don't have a dry church. I do. I praise God every day that we have a church that is alive. We're not better than anybody else, but I tell you, when you start to dry up, first you get dry and then you die. That's just the way that it works. And when you die, you may not resurrect again. So it's important that we follow the teaching of God's Word and say, Lord, send us showers of blessing. Let the wind that blows blow from the throne room of God. Let it come as a mighty rushing wind upon us that will never be afraid of Pentecostal power. And thank God for the breeze from glory. It comes from a different place. It comes from a dry place. But the wind comes from a desolate place. See, the wilderness in the Bible, even though there's mountain ranges, this wind that develops, it develops in the plains of the desert. The desolate places where nothing grows. And since nothing grows, there's nothing to hinder the hot breeze. So what happens, since there's nothing to hinder the hot breeze, the wind picks up. It gains strength and speed as it picks up. That's why it's so dangerous, these fires in California. It's not the fire itself. It's the breeze that comes from the plains into the mountainous area. By the time it gets there, it's blowing so hard, it fuels the fire. So it becomes uncontrollable, unpredictable. And that's the way it is. The winds from the wilderness, they gain steam quickly. They build up quickly. And they come with great force. And there's only one thing you can do to stop them. I do a lot of preaching out in the flatlands. My wife, I met Candy holding revival for her dad up on Lake Erie when he pastored up there. Northern Ohio is known as flatland. And you get out west, you're in the flatland. There's a reason why it's Tornado Alley. And there's a reason why it's the Dust Bowl. It's because with that dry areas with no mountains to stop it and no trees to stop it, when the winds start, they just keep building up and they keep creating more destruction and more destruction. One time, I asked a fellow out west when I was preaching, I said, what do y'all do to stop that wind? He said, there's only one thing you can do, preacher. You've got to build a windbreak. A windbreak. I said, well, what's a windbreak? He said, well, it's trees that are planted at the right location. Because, he said, man, you can't stop the wind, but you can divert it. You can't control the wind that's coming, but you can block it. No wonder the psalmist said that we are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of life. You know, we've got young people in this church that we can't control the wind from the desert that's going to come against them. But I tell you what we can control. We can be a wind block for them. A tree that is planted to say we can't stop the winds of the world from coming against you. But we can try to block it and try to divert it because we found out some things that you can depend upon. That even though the devil blows against you, your house can stand if you've got trees that are blocking the wind. So I thought, Lord, help us to be a windbreak. So I did a little study on what a windbreak is. And I'm telling you, this is too good to be true. The Colorado State University, their extension office, published a guideline on how to build a windbreak. I don't know about you, but I want to shelter our young people. I want to shelter people that need it. You know, there's some people in our church right now, they just need a break. The hot wind's blowing against them and they need a break. We can't stop the wind that the devil brings their way, but we can block it or divert it. Well, how do you build a windbreak? Well, number one, it says, the more dense the shrubs and trees are, the better the windbreak. In other words, the more full they are, the more wind they stop. If we get full of God and the power of God, we can stop any wind that the devil brings against those that we love in this church. It said also, you always have to plant in the same direction that the wind is blowing. You cannot go with the wind and block the wind. You've got to go against the wind. You know what he's saying? You can't go with the world and stop the world. You can't be like the world and stop the world. You've got to go against the winds of the world if you're going to be a block to the things that the devil is trying to bring in the lives of others. It also says that the wind-protected area extends to a distance approximately 10 times the height of the tallest trees. You know what that means? If a tree is standing 10 times as tall as what, that's how far it protects out. That means the more you grow, the higher you get, the more protection you can give. So it's important that we get high with the Lord. Then also, it's said that there's wind eddies. Wind eddies are simply where a windbreak stops, the wind goes around it, then it whirls back in. So to protect an area, you've got to make sure that you plant at least 100 feet wider than the area that you're wanting to protect, because some of the wind will be diverted around and whipped back in. So you've got to not only be high, you've got to be wide. You've got to cover a big area. Because the wider the area you cover, the greater protection that others have behind you. Also, gaps within the row will make a funnel to actually accelerate the wind instead of making the windbreak effective. You can't have any gaps in this thing. In other words, we got to get together, folks. The devil's fighting, and he's doing everything he can, and now's not a time to separate. Now's the time to come together. Also, boy, I love this. It's better to plant the same type of tree in every row because that prevents gaps. But don't plant just one row. They suggest a minimum of 3 rows. And they say the more rows you have, the better off you are because of protection. But when you plant the rows, you have to put the shortest shrubs in the front. The next highest trees behind it, the tallest trees need to be the closest to what you're protecting. So in other words, you put the plants that don't grow as tall out front and you keep staggering it higher to cause the wind to shear above it and go over it. That means if you've been saved for just a short time, there's a place for you right up front. And that also means when we see somebody going through it, that we have to stand tall and we have to stand united and say we can't allow any gaps. And we have to say from the shortest to the tallest in the Lord, we've got to stand together to try to protect what the enemy is seeking to destroy. And then it says to really be effective, you have to figure out at maturity, every plant needs to be planted until when they're at maturity, they overlap or they touch one another. They have to touch each other. Boy, I'm preaching the wrong sermon in the middle of social distancing, aren't I? Now, I will tell you why the devil sent this thing. In the end time, the love of many will wax cold. And I'm telling you what his ultimate goal is to try to say, and I've already heard it, well, we'll never shake hands again. Well, bless God, I'm going to shake hands again. I'll listen to all of this for a period of time and go along with them. I'll be a good citizen and do what's right. But I'll guarantee you one thing. When the mask comes off, I'm going to hug every one of you to death. We ought to love one another. We ought to say we're going to unite together. And we ought to say that more than anything, there is a bond inside of us that the devil cannot tear apart, no matter how hard that he comes against us. So what do you do when kids go wayward? Can I read to you a statement that a young lady made that had been raised in church? And she got challenged by the winds of the wilderness. And she went astray. And when she went astray, she went deep in sin. Finally, in a backslidden state, under convicting power of the Holy Ghost, she surrendered her life to the Lord. And when they asked her, "How did you make it through that?" This was her testimony. "The devil couldn't take out of me everything that my family and church had put in me." So young people, you say, "I'm going to go in an opposite direction from what mom and dad taught me, what this church taught me." I've come to tell you, we're putting the devil on notice. He can't take everything out of you that mom and dad have placed in you and the teachings that God's Word has been instilled in your heart. He might try to get it, but he can't get it out of you. It's there to stay. And somewhere on your long journey away from God, in the darkness of the night, the Holy Ghost will wake you up in the middle of the night and say, "He's still God, and he's still on the throne, and he still has all power, and he still saves and forgives, and he's going to touch your heart. You can't get away from him." Some people, they need a break. I don't know about you, but Sunday morning I talked about being a keeper, but I also want to be a windbreaker. I want to stop the wind from the wilderness. Oh, I'll fan the flames of God's glory and power, Holy Ghost fire, but I don't want anything to do with the winds from the wilderness. We've got to stop it. He blows and comes against not only our young people, but our adults. We've got people going through a lot right now. You know that, and I do too. And good to see the Lords out with us tonight. They broke down this weekend, 8 or 9 hours away, and they got a vehicle to get on back home. Darren had to stay behind, but now they found out that, I hope I've got it right, the transmission is out of their Sprinter. And Darren's trying to get back home. So Lord willing, they'll be singing for us on Sunday morning, but they're in between. I'm glad God put this church here to help people, be a blessing to people. I really do. But right now they need somebody to shelter them from the winds, from the wilderness that's blowing against them. Here you are, you can't get bookings, finally get bookings, and you can't go because your vehicle's broke down. But I know somebody that he knows transportation and he knows needs and he's able to do anything. Our young people are back in school. We need to pray, Lord, shelter them from the winds, from the wilderness. We've got people with all kinds of needs in here. Some of you have wayward children. Don't you let the devil discourage you. The Lord sent me this way tonight to tell you, no matter what they're going through, they can't get away from what you planted in their heart in Jesus' name. It's not stopping. So yes, we can't stop the wind. But I'm a pretty big boy and I'm going to block some. And I think if enough of us get together close enough that we can block the winds. Cameron and Ashley had the wind from the wilderness blocked for them on Sunday. Praise God for it. Praise God for it. Some of you, you need that block tonight in your life. You may need to come tonight and say, I need some folks to gather around me and pray for me. I need some folks to touch heaven for me. There's some folks that know how to block the wind. You know why? They're a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters of life. And they know how to block the attacks of the enemy. They've been there and they understand. Young person, you may feel like you're all alone. You're not alone. And I think it's great when our young people gather around and pray for our young people. But as the shrubs, I think there ought to be some trees to get behind them too. People that's on the other end of the journey that'll say, listen, God was good when I started and God's just as good at the end of the journey. But I'm trusting Him no matter what. They're going to get a song, and as they get a song, I'm going to invite you tonight, if you're here in this service and you know somebody that the breeze, the wind from the wilderness is coming against them, you may want to come and say, I'm going to do everything I can to block that. I'm going to do everything I can to stop that. You may need to come tonight and say, the devil's out to get some of the young people that I know, and I'm going to do everything that I can to stop that.